The first two verses of Psalm 89. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness.
All right, so if you've got a copy of the Scriptures, Psalm 89 will be there, as well as many other places. Some of those I'll point you to. Others you can just listen as God's Word goes forth. We have been studying questions that you have asked. And this evening, we're on the question, why do we sing? Why do we sing? Why do we sing? You all have this in your, close to you. It's sitting, somewhere on the seat there. We are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And what has gotten major headlines about the Reformation is justification by faith and a return to the people of God, of the Word of God. And that headline is true and real and is to be celebrated all the time, especially from at 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. next Lord's Day evening. But you know what the other big deal that Martin Luther wanted to do? He didn't just want to unleash the Word of God into the language of the people of God to see them liberated by the wonderful teaching of justification by faith. Martin Luther wanted to see the Reformation return congregational singing to its rightful place. He felt like if people were going to be changed, there was this double barrel of God's Word clearly going out in the language of the people, and then the people singing back to God and to one another and to the world the very truths that they were hearing in this book. Martin Luther wrote this about music. When man's natural ability is whetted and polished to the extent that it becomes an art, then do we note with great surprise the great and perfect wisdom of God in music, which after all, his product and his gift, we marvel when we hear music in which one voice sings a simple melody, while three, four, or five others play and trip lustily around the voice that sings the simple melody and adorn this simple melody wonderfully with artistic musical effects, thus reminding us of a heavenly dance where all meet in a spirit of friendliness and embrace. A person who gives this some thought and yet doesn't regard music as a marvelous creation of God must be a clodhopper indeed, and doesn't deserve to be called a human being. He should be permitted to hear nothing but the braying of asses and the grunting of hogs. So Luther thought that music was a pretty big deal in our experience of God and in our growth in grace. I think he might have been onto something. Why do we sing? Three quick things. We sing because we are created to sing. We sing because we are commanded to sing. And we sing because we are compelled to sing. So first and quickly, we are created to sing. I think we're created in two ways. A, as human beings, just as people, we are created to sing. And then B, as God's people, we're recreated to sing. First, We're created as people to sing. The Scriptures say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of a Creator God. Tolkien said, we are not only made, but we are made in the image and likeness of a Maker. We are created to make things, music and song being one of them. Do you know that at the 12-week mark, that's, if my math is right, and it's often not, 6 months before the child is ready to come into the world, at the 12-week mark, the vocal cords are put together. That God has, in that womb of the mother, fearfully and wonderfully knit together the vocal cords. That later, that human body will draw breath through the lungs and up and across that vocal cord and out through the mouth and the lips and the tongue to make music and to sing. It's one reason, because we're created in the image of a singing God, that we humans sing. Do you know they go to pre-literate cultures everywhere on the globe? Folks sing. It's just what we do it spontaneously, because we're made in the image of a creator, maker, God. I love the place in The Magician's Nephew when Aslan is creating Narnia. And the way that Lewis has him create Narnia is that he sings it. He sings that world into existence. And it pictures, I think, the joyfulness with which our God created our world and with which our God lives. We're created just as people. And then we're recreated as God's people. I think one of the reasons God has recreated us as his people is that we might sing. Quick tour through the Bible. You know, the first song in scriptures is Exodus 15. God's people sing it right after God gives them this great victory and deliverance. They cross the Red Sea and they say, "Let's sing," and they sing a song. And then later, before Moses is talking to them about the conquest that will happen when they cross the River Jordan, before they go across the Jordan, Moses says, "We got to get back in the studio, because I want to teach you a song about how all of our conquests are not our own. They come through the strength of God." But David, the man after God's own heart. Do you realize 2 Samuel refers to David as the sweet singer of Israel? The prophets are continually pointing to a future when there would be a new and final exodus, and it would be celebrated with a new song. This new song that's coming to celebrate deliverance. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus shares the Last Supper with his people. And then the Bible says that after they sang a hymn, they headed to the Mount of Olives. The Apostle Paul, you may remember that he was singing in prison. That Paul said to the churches, "This is a major part of what I want y'all doing when you gather together, is to sing." And also, Paul's writings in the New Testament, they're so peppered, interlaced with hymn fragments, H-Y-M-N fragments, that scholars can't decide, okay, wait, was Paul just quoting original hymns that the Christian church already had? Or did the Christian church take Paul's writings and make them into some of their early hymns? So much is Paul's thought laced with singing and with song. In Revelation, we get to where it says that they finally, this song of Moses and the song of the Lamb are both sung. And so it's all over the scriptures. I think we sing because we're created to, and we're created, recreated to. Do you know that old illustration? It's been retired and probably needs to be, where the child makes a little boat and he puts it in the water and he loses the boat, and then later he's in a pawn shop and he sees his boat that he made for sale, and he saves all his money and he buys it, and he's walking out of the store and says, "Oh, little boat, you're mine twice. First, because I made you, and second, because I bought you." I think that's an image of why we sing, because we're flat out made in the image of God, and secondly, we are redeemed and recreated for this very purpose. Well, not only are we created, but we are commanded to sing. There are 400 references, give or take, to singing in the Bible. 50 plus-ish, 50 commands specifically to sing, direct commands, a couple for you. Psalm 100, come into his presence with singing. Psalm 149, sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. And then the Apostle Paul, as I mentioned earlier, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. We sing because we're commanded to. So God commands us to praise Him with song. Does He do this because He's insecure? Does He do this because He knows how we're wired and what we're made for and what brings sanity and courage and repentance and hope and faith? And those, what brings those things is to be fascinated with and focused on the God who has made us, who sustains us, who will see us through, who is with us. He knows that we become more whole when we praise Him. Yes, it's for His glory, of course, but it also makes His people whole. Well, what happens? Why are we maybe commanded to sing? One, we're filled with the Spirit. That's what Ephesians 5 says. Colossians says the word of Christ dwells richly when we sing. Another thing that happens is that we are helped. We help one another when we sing. The Ephesians 5 passage and the Colossians 3 passage both speak of, in the context of when the assembly is together, I want you to sing, because there's something that happens when I hear you sing that helps me. And there's something when you hear me sing, believe it or not, that helps you. I could get into all the there's crazy metaphysical stuff about how singing bonds people together, but I'm not going to go there. Just to say that God has commanded it, and that He shapes us as His people when we sing. I love this little line from Jason Isbell's recent record. He says, I was born in a tiny southern town. I grew up with all my family around. We made music on the porch on Sunday nights. Old men with old guitars smoking Winston lights. Old women harmonizing with the wind, singing softly to the Savior like a friend. They taught me how to make the chords and sing the words. I'm still singing like that great speckled bird. He's talking about how those times of music shaped him and bonded him and made him the man who he is. And so that's how God uses our music in our midst. He's created us and commanded us that we would sing for the building up one to another. And so this means this. So look, the people around you on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, you have no idea what's been going on in their world. They may have dragged or drug or whatever the right way to say. They may have had a hard time getting in here. They may be thinking of chucking it all. They may be wrestling with temptation. Their hearts may be overwhelmed with sadness and grief. Maybe to the point where for a season they can't sing. And they need somebody to sing so they can hear it. They need somebody to remind them that all of these things about the character of God are true. That the vision that the Christian gospel creates about our world is right. That there is hope in the world. We need one another. We're made to need and to benefit one another. I think about, there's a minister named Joe Novenson who I think preached here at the dedication of Trinity Hall. And I don't know him very well, but I know a guy who worked with him. And I heard Joe Novenson say one time about the fellow that worked with him that I know. He said, there was a period of my life when I was just mired in depression. And that guy would come and stand in my office and sing to me. He would come and unaccompanied just sing hymns to me about the greatness of God and the goodness of God. And his singing bore me through. That's powerful. You know, the Philippian jailer who's like, what must I do to be saved? Now, there's some rockets that went off and all kinds of crazy stuff happened. But you know what also that Philippian jailer had heard earlier that night? He'd heard Paul singing hymns, Acts tells us. And so our songs make a difference not only in our own hearts and minds, but with one another. One of my favorite writers, Anne Lamott, who has become a Christian out of a very destructive lifestyle. And there was a period of her time when she was first starting to, it's too much to say she was investigating Christianity. You can just say she was open to thinking that it wasn't crazy. And she would go to this church only for the music and leave after the music. And she said this, something inside me that was stiff and rotting would become soft and tender. Somehow the singing wore down all the boundaries that kept me so isolated. Sitting there, standing with them to sing, sometimes so shaky and sick, I felt like I might tip over. I felt bigger than myself, like I was being taken care of, like I was being coaxed into coming back to life. God has commanded us to sing because we need it in our own self and we give it to one another. It is one of the ways He shapes us as a people and steals the nerve of one another as believers. That it's true, that He's good, that it's right, that it lasts. And so we're created and we are commanded. And then finally, we're compelled to sing. To put it less formally, we can't help it. I'll never forget, I was not a singer growing up. When I became a Christian, I started to sing. Nobody told me singing was important. I used to by myself sing for 20 minutes in the mornings. It's horrible to listen to, probably. But it helped shape me. And I didn't have to. We're compelled. We can't help it. Psalm 40 and verses 2 and 3 read like this. The Lord drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. And many will see, and many will fear the Lord, and many will put their trust in God through what He's done in me, is what the psalmist is saying. He put a new song in my mouth. Psalm 98, break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Psalm 118, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And Psalm 89, verse 1 that was read earlier, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Here's the deal. We delight to praise whatever. We love to praise. We have to praise whatever we find delightful. You like a certain play that your team did? You're going to send that video to your friends and maybe to your enemies. You like a certain meal, you're going to snap a picture of it. Whatever you delight in, your child brings you a piece of artwork, it's going on the fridge because of delight. We can't help but praise what we delight in. And so this is a difficult one. I'm saying that I think the scriptures say that Christians are compelled to sing. And that means if you don't find yourself ever singing or wanting to sing, I think there's room for you to ask, has this new song that I'm hearing about that God puts in the heart of His people, is it in my heart? Now, a couple of applications, and I'm going to go quickly. First of all, for those of you who like to sing already, sing your heart out. Sing your heart out. For those of you who don't like to sing, there's places, I know there's places in life where you don't sing. Grief, heart, you know, you're hard-hearted. I'm hard-hearted sometimes. I know there's times when you can't sing. I'm saying that you can engage with what's happening in this room without necessarily singing. You ever been in a conversation with six or seven people? And you might just be listening, but you're tracking and you're mulling it over. So it is. I would encourage you. But let me say this. Those of you who say, well, I can't sing well, forget it. That is ridiculous. We need your singing. May that not be the reason that anybody ceases to give voice and lift their voice to God. We need to be a noise for one another. Well, let me say a couple of things. Something else you can do. Learn the songs that we sing. Practice with your hymn book. Practice looking up and not being dependent on singing with your mouth in the hymnal. Because that's one of the things that songs do. They help you remember things and commit them to memory. Like you all probably know, two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame seed bun. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, right? We memorize stuff that we sing. And so work on memorizing the Psalms, the songs of Jesus, the hymns of the church, because they get more written in your heart than when you simply read them in this room. Finally, I mentioned before, we sing because God sings. In Hebrews chapter 2, one of the Psalms is put on to Jesus, and he says, I will lead the congregation in singing. And so there is this reality that whenever two or three are gathered in his name, that Jesus is up here with a guitar or whatever is your instrument of preference, and he is leading the singing. And we join our voices with that man who has purchased us and who is delivering us and who will secure us one day in his presence. And there's also this reality. Zephaniah chapter 3, it says, Israel, sing. Sing, 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 Israel. You know why? Because your judgments have been taken away. Sing because God's not holding anything against you. Sing because of that. And oh, not just that the judgments against you are gone. Sing because the God who has removed judgment rejoices over you with singing. That the scriptures say we serve a God so majestic, who bends himself down to rejoice over his purchased ones and to quiet us with his love, with singing. Let's pray. Almighty God, would you, for the glory of your name, help us to grow in grace and to give voice to our praise and to be shaped into the people you've purchased us to be. All of this to your glory through this gift of song. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen.